Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Clinical Science Podcast. This is Dr. Panarella, or Dr. Matt, sometimes as I go by during or in this podcast. Gap here between the last episode and this, the fifth episode. I had a technical difficulty with my laptop, and that caused me to have to take it in to get some software issues resolved with Microsoft and some documents that I had, which makes it difficult for me. I can't record a podcast without my laptop. So hopefully going forward, I won't have too many more interruptions. And I also wanted to say, I've had some listeners. I'm not doing a lot of advertising. I'm not on social media at the moment. But if you enjoy this podcast, would you please tell a friend? The more listeners, the better off this will be. The more encouragement I'll have to continue. Hopefully I can continue for quite a while. And also there's been no reviews, and I think reviews are critical for people that love podcasts as I do. And you know, you'll read a review, and I don't always read the reviews. I really enjoy more listening to the podcast and deciding for myself, but occasionally I will look at the reviews. But I do think it is helpful to people when there are reviews. So if you can, please leave a review. Be honest. I'm not asking for the highest review, or conversely, I'm not asking you to give me a terrible review. Hopefully you've all gained some benefit and gotten some information and hopefully some education on topics that I've presented so far. And today's topic, actually, for me, is I'm sort of surprised. I do like to read the news. I don't watch the news. I generally read the news on my phone. And then I had an article come up, and it's sort of true when you're car shopping. You always will see this vehicle out on the highway, and you'll think, oh, man, I'm seeing this thing all the time. Why didn't I see it before? Well, your attention is sort of hyped up a little bit. Maybe your perception is a little hyped up. But I came across an animal-related article, and I thought it would be good to discuss it from my perspective, because I think it shows several issues with human beings. Animals, yes, somewhat, but more this is a human issue. And I will put up a link to this article. It's in Wired, which I think maybe is only an online forum, magazine. Anyway, there was a story by a man named Tom Simonite that was published on October 13th, 2022. The title of the article is "The Search for a Pill That Can Help Dogs and Humans Live Longer." I was a little intrigued by that, and usually I would just skim over that or not even take a minute to read it, because a lot of these stories, I think, are kind of strange. But now that I'm doing this podcast, I read the article, and I have it up here on my laptop. So there's a woman named Celine Haliula. I don't know exactly how to say her name. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it correctly, that is running a company. And I'm not going to go into everything about her, but she, I believe, is the one that is starting this company looking for a pill, which would be the simplest thing that an animal or a person could take to extend human life and extend dog life. And when I read this article, I thought I was really struck by, amazed, struck by how creative people are in the modern world. And it's probably true since there was two people on the earth, but people are amazing. And, you know, one of my initial impressions is people are afraid, and we're afraid of a lot of different things. We've just been through COVID, And that created a tremendous fear in a lot of people. I think certain people justifiably, but I think for the majority of people, not really. And I think that this company and their goal here, really the biggest market would be in human beings, because that's where the big money would be. The veterinary or animal market would be a very small, minimal percentage of a human market. But I just thought, how naive to want to take a pill, number one, to live longer. And I thought, okay, so what? You take the pill and then, you know, a loved one doesn't take the pill, and then what? You're going to outlive the loved one by who knows how long? And I thought, well, that's weird. And then I said, the second part of the naive angle is, okay, so now you want a pill that will work in dogs, doesn't work in cats, apparently, and they're not going to, excuse me, does not that it doesn't work in cats, but that they're not going to study it, but that they're going to use it, or they would like to use it in dogs. And I thought, okay, so just to do that kind of study, it would take a very long time to run that study. So how could you claim, for an example, in the story, they're saying a Chihuahua can live roughly 15 years. So how are you going to know you're increasing the lifespan of that animal? It's going to take minimum 15 years if everything runs well. And what, 16, 17, 20, 25 years? So that's not really a feasible project. So I just thought from that angle alone, I'm thinking, wow, that's really strange. They're definitely going to be experimenting in rodents, which they state in the article. But I really felt that, I think as a veterinarian, can't really speak to the human side beside my feeling of that people are afraid of dying, and that it's a very naive thought, although you could say it is, I think, also on the flip side, sort of fantastical thought to be able to manipulate life, which is what we're really trying to do here, that, you know, it's a fantastic idea. But I also thought there's always a trade-off. And the article that I recall didn't talk about any trade-offs. So I can't really speak specifically about the human component other than the emotional component. But the veterinary component, I thought, was or could be extremely problematic. I recall in the article that she said she'd hired veterinarians, and I thought, okay, they didn't really get specific in this article, which I'm going to encourage everybody that listens to this podcast to read the article. But I thought, they really don't have an understanding of animals. They have an understanding of how they feel and how animals make them feel, which I understand because we're emotional beings. Animals hopefully make us feel good, make us feel better, make us, you know, probably ascribe a lot of things, safe, secure, happy. They never complain, all those sorts of things. But it's really an incomplete understanding of the biology of dogs. And in medicine, there's always a trade-off. There's no such thing as a free lunch. If you're going to be manipulating genes or enzyme pathways or what have you, whatever this mechanism that this pill is going to work, there's going to be a trade-off. It's not going to be we give them a pill, which of course is everybody's naive hope. Oh yeah, let's give them a pill. Everything will be hunky-dory. It's never going to be that. There's always going to be potential side effects. But I also thought they really don't understand dogs. They don't understand modern veterinary medicine. And that led me to something that I had studied. About 7 years ago, I had given a talk on the consequences of spaying and neutering animals. And there are consequences. There are consequences, many that are quite negative. There's increased rates of osteoarthritis in some larger breeds. There's increasing cancer in larger breeds, just two that I recall off the top of my head. which leads me to say I will do an entire podcast dedicated to that topic. The last time I touched on that topic was 2015, so it's been 7 years, and I just did a quick search on PubMed and found a few more papers that had been published. So I'm going to gather those up, I'm going to read those, and I'll condense them down, and I'll review what I had written. I had an extensive PowerPoint that I had drafted, so I'll coalesce all of that. And then maybe if I can somehow get that PowerPoint onto the webpage, I'll do that. But I think, geez, they just don't really understand, because so now you're going to have an animal possibly that's neutered at an extraordinarily young age with maybe lifelong consequences. And now you're going to try to extend that life. You're going to try to extend the life of an animal with osteoarthritis. It doesn't make sense to me. I just think it's a naive hope to keep animals that we love alive, I think, longer than really is good for them. We might feel it's good for us, but in my opinion, it's not good for the animals. And I really don't think it's good for the people in the long run, because I don't personally want to lengthen or increase the duration of possible suffering that an animal is experiencing. We could have a discussion around suffering in animals. Some people don't really think that they suffer per se. They might say that that is an emotion. I know animals definitely feel pain. And I know when we relieve pain through drugs sometimes, like non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, that the animals feel better. You can see a change in their behavior, which is what we would notice. So I think it's quite naive that we're going to be, or somebody's going to develop a pill, we're going to give them this pill, give a dog the pill, and all the medical complications or problems that an animal can have as it ages, now we're just going to increase that life and somehow have a happy animal out at the other end at what, lives 20, 25 years? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I know that we already have a tremendous number of dogs in this country, and I also know that dogs are being imported from all over the world into the United States. And there's been many issues and consequences with that. Recently, there was animals brought in, if you can believe it, from China, which is shocking to me why dogs are being, people are spending money bringing dogs from China to the United States to adopt out is crazy to me. And one of the biggest problems just with the actual importation of the dogs is rabies vaccine. We don't want to bring in dogs with rabies into the United States, and there's been a lot of problems with the accuracy and veracity of the paperwork and actually whether dogs actually have been vaccinated. And I think that there's been other imports where dogs actually have rabies, even though they claim to be vaccinated. And rabies is a human public health hazard. So bringing those animals in here would just be a problem. And I have a huge ethical problem with people spending the money to bring a dog from overseas here. Now, I'm not talking about a family pet that maybe you adopted. I'm talking about so-called humane groups or so-called rescue groups spending tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring in animals from overseas. It just doesn't make any sense when there's plenty of animals here, I'm sure, that can be adopted and that would be a high quality pet. And who knows what these animals from overseas are even like. So, you know, I just feel like we open up these giant cans of worms. It's going to be so easy. Just give them a pill. But that's not really how biologic systems work. There's a trade-off. There will be issues. There will be complications. And then lengthening an animal's life basically for our benefit. It's not for the animal's benefit. The animal doesn't know how long it's going to live, but it's going to do us some good by them living longer. I just don't understand that thought process. I think it's a very selfish thought process. And I think people would say, oh, but this, that, and the other thing. Yes, you're getting my opinion. And when I first made this podcast, I wasn't sure how much of my actual opinion I wanted to give, but as I'm doing this more and more, I also think that you're probably interested in my opinion, because this podcast, as it spans time, and I think more about things, and I present topics. I don't want them to all be dry, boring topics, which I have plenty of topics to talk about. I think my opinion is important here, and if we take the spay-neuter example with the complications, just right off the top, if you think about taking a very small, immature animal and taking away their gonads, you are now changing the hormone status of that animal, and hormones play a huge, critical part in the development of any animal. People as well, and messing with the hormones of human beings in a developmental stage causes many, many problems. So I didn't know any of that. I was never taught or trained any of that when I was in veterinary school. I only came to that conclusion maybe 20 years into my veterinary career, because I never thought about it. I was always thinking about other diseases and other problems. But when I was, don't know exactly when this happened, but when I was teaching, so probably over the 20-year mark in my career, I probably started thinking about it. Then I think as I was teaching, it became more and more present in my mind about what we're actually doing to animals, especially at the very early neutering. And again, excuse me, from rescue groups or humane groups that are spaying animals that are only a few weeks of age, I find to be absolute insanity and tremendously barbaric. And again, peer-reviewed research shows that it causes long-term complications like increased rates of cancer and increased rates of osteoarthritis, mostly in the hips, which is painful. And any human being that tells you that's had a hip replacement, as an example, will tell you how much pain they are actually in. So there's your symptoms versus clinical signs. Just going back to the differences in veterinary medicine that we have between animals and people. So that opened my mind, and that led me to be a little bit more critical of this article. So I would encourage you to read the article. You can agree or disagree with it. Maybe it's something that you're hoping for yourself. I just hope that at least in my lifetime that we don't have anything like this come out, because I know it's going to cause suffering in animals, and I can't really see that. And I think as human beings, we need to be a little bit more generous, one, with ourselves, and two, with the animals that we take care of and have in our lives, or that we support, or groups that we support. Because again, there's a trade-off. Humane groups will tell you, oh, early spay-neuter will reduce the dog population. There's no proof that it does that. And the amount of spay-neutering that's been done over the last at least 20 years, you would figure, okay, well, we would have a lot less animals in this country. I don't really think we do. Nobody really knows how many animals we have in the country, which is a whole other story. I just think it's naive of us as human beings to think, oh, we can do X, Y, and Z, and there'll be no long-term consequences. We're hoping for a particular outcome, but usually that's not what happens. It's not all peaches and cream. It's not a fairy tale. These are actual biological systems that we're playing with, and there are consequences to doing things. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and that's true. I don't know any other plain way to say it. So even though I disagree with it, I thought it was good to bring to you as a topic, which you'll see out there in the world if you've come across this paper. So I look forward to seeing you again. I had another topic in mind for this podcast, but I felt that when these stories come out, the quicker I can respond to them from the news, the better off you'll be, the more timely information that you'll have. So I do look forward to seeing you again. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at askdrmatt@proton.me. That's askdrmatt. It can be all lowercase at proton, proton.me, like me. I look forward to seeing you again. Thank you, and be well.